B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Oh, man.
Well played.
I'm a soul man.
You know,
got what I got.
I think you know you made it. Yeah. Trey, what was the best part of your professional life?
I don't know.
I'll tell you mine. It's when I knew I made it, and it's when the Philadelphia Soul included you in a tweet. It's one of those things, like, it just never, I never thought of it.
Once Trey told me that, I can't see you as anything else now.
And you shouldn't.
You're literally Soul Man.
Nor do I want to be seen as anything else.
Oh, my gosh.
So, in case you didn't see the photos on social meds yesterday, right, on the old social media. So, usually when I golf, I enjoy to wear a fedora.
As some of our tweeters noted, a fedorka.
Yes. And you know what? I don't care. Because I do me. And everyone else kiss my ass.
I sent it to your wife yesterday as well. And she very much enjoyed it.
She said you sent her a picture, but she never said which picture.
The collage.
Wonderful. So like, you said that out. That's great. And like I just never thought of it, but I usually wear like a light fitting, like a what I'm like not wicker, whatever the hell it's called, you know, the light basket like hat type of thing. And the reason I do that is because I'm a bald man, and I feel the baseball cap gives me the ring around my head for like you know a couple hours. I'm like the hell with that. I'm not doing that. I just rock the fedora, whatever. So I wear that. And yesterday I thought it was going to be a little colder. So I had more of a wool kind of thing to it. And the only one I have is black and with a white band, which, as lo and behold, is exactly what Soul Man was.
Golf Club. Yes, and you guys had the sunglasses on, the identical. You had a black shirt on, and he wears a black suit. It was a great analogy by Trey.
It really,
you're a Soul Man.
That is that is brilliant. It is nothing short of brilliant.
Oh my god!
I am Soul Man, but I'll say I got more soul than that fella. How about that? Let's sing the blues. See what happens.
Yes, the Soul acknowledged the tweet and everything.
Oh, acknowledged?
Oh, did they put one out?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you didn't see?
Oh, I only saw they like favored it and got involved a little bit.
Oh, yeah, they got involved.
Oh, they got involved.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they took a picture. So the Soul then released a photo of
who wore it better.
Yes. but there was three.
Who was the third?
It was Soul Man. It was yours truly.
Yeah.
And the Jimmy Butler.
But Jimmy Butler's hat was more like the Hamburglar.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler's hat, yes, it was more of the very wide brim, like a Pharrell type of hat.
Yeah, kind of like the Hamburglar. The Hamburglar.
He was missing a mask. He needed a little like a strip mask across his eyes, and that would have definitely been him. So I see your tweet, Jamie, and I'm laughing my ass off. I'm having myself a good time. And then I see the Soul put out the tweet. And here's the best part. I think it's June 1st or June 2nd. I don't know. I got to look at the date. Their regular PA announcer, Vinny the Crumb, as he was known, known in the radio circles, he's out. He's got to miss a game or something like that for something going on.
So they're calling in the guy with not enough jobs?
Well, I've done some stuff. Brandon Kamen, who is their on-field guy, their in-arena host is the proper title. I've done some fill-in work for him. He's a buddy of mine. Well, you know him. We used to work with him. And he's missed a couple things, so I know the people from the Soul, and they asked me to come in and be the PA guy. So now, I think I have to wear.
You have to wear.
I have to wear the fedora and the glasses, right? Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Now, but can I do it on Soul Man's turf? Is the question?
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah. That might be a conversation you two need to have. If you are different people.
It was a fun time yesterday. I'll tell you.
That was a blast.
I'll tell you who had the right idea. And Trey and I already had a meeting about this. But Jamie, while you were in the 5 o'clock hour, and the meeting was that Bob Cooney's a genius.
Yes, he is.
Golf outing. Take the day off.
Friday off,
yeah. But you know what? The hell with that. I want to be here today. You know why? Because the Phillies are terrible at baseball right now. Good God, are they bad at baseball. But I'll transition officially in a second here. More on this. But Bob says this yesterday, by the way, I'm not in tomorrow. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, You genius.
Yeah.
You genius.
Smart man.
That Bob Cooney. He's you know, you don't expect it, but boom, he comes out with the ideas. But anyway, it was a blast yesterday. It was an amazing time at Downingtown Country Club, Ron Jaworski's joint up there. It was just awesome.
Sensational.
I feel spoiled, Trey. I feel like we should be looking out on a beautiful golf course right now.
My God, I spent most of the day just marveling.
just
marveling away, you know. And then it got to a point where I think that the early wake up kind of jumped on us, and we were like, all right.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, let's go hit the bar.
Yeah, it was like the 14th hole, and we were all kind of like, and we're spent.
So I left, and you guys quit like three holes later?
Yeah, maybe about four.
Because I had about 10 holes before I had to take off.
Yeah, I think we hit about 14 holes.
Okay.
I think we finished 5 under on the 4 through 14.
Nice job.
Not bad, not bad.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Trey was Captain Mulligan yesterday.
Let me tell you something about Trey.
Because we got your fourth ball once you left.
Of course you did.
So we obviously gave it to Trey because he's a great mulligan hitter.
Yeah, but it's not a mulligan. It was my shot.
Yeah, that was
so
legit.
I would like to say I had a great day yesterday. No, but Trey comes out there yesterday, and like, we all hit terrible shots, like four shots, whatever. And Trey's like, yeah, mulligan. And I'm like, does anyone want to tell him he's wrong? I'm not going to tell him. And then he would drop a ball, and then just like with no practice swing, no nothing on the mulligan, just crank it, and it's like down the middle, whatever. Like, dude, the mulligan game, the mulligan is strong in this one.
I have my moments, you know, and it's usually after the first try.
But the one that doesn't is supposed to not count, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really was beautiful yesterday. The Mike Mussinelli Open is where we were yesterday, the Downingtown Country Club. Ron Jaworski's place up there, it was absolutely spectacular. We did, in fact, as you pointed out, we marveled at all the views.
You marveled.
Our drink cart girl, Sloan, was awesome.
She was.
She really hustled. She was fantastic. We had a wonderful time. But then, you know, afterwards, I'm sure you guys put the Phillies game on.
Yeah.
So I would like to take full responsibility.
What'd you do?
Because I believe it was, what, Tuesday? I went out with the conversation of, well, it's May, it's the Phillies, and what are they going to do to really piss you off? And then Sean Rodriguez was like, hold my beer.
Yeah, you did put the stink on him.
I did put the stink on him, I think, 100%. And then yesterday, you're watching the game, and it's close. The game's going on, and you're like, oh, come on. This is going to be a game where Harper hits a homer, or Hoskins, it's like 4-3.
Yeah, Mean Gene was keeping you in it.
Mean Gene's handling his business, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it was like the seventh inning, and the Brewers were like, did 5 home runs.
Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. Realize there, I'm not even including, who was it, Grandal maybe? I'm not even including their 5-hole hitter, but their 2, 3, and 4-hole hitters yesterday were 9-for-14.
Mm.
Oof. And also, that doesn't include the pitcher, who was 2-for-3.
Oof.
One was a horrible play by McCutcheon in the outfield, another was just nobody could cover a bunt. Nobody could defend a bunt. In the infield, for all due respect, Davies, it was a good bunt, but not for nothing. The Phillies are now in a little worry mode. I understand it's one series. It's got to leak into another series for something to really bother people or whatever. But if there was a way to lose that was going to be the most annoying way to lose, it would be get blown out and make stupid mistakes in the field. Cesar Hernandez had another one where he had an easy play at first and tried to throw out Davies at third all the way across the field.
Yeah, you don't do that.
No, that's a dumb
take
play.
Take the shirt out.
Dumb play. So we'll get into that today, as you would assume. And I think Gabe Kapler gave us another good soundbite yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to add to his library that I know Jamie likes to hit all the time here.
What do you guys have? What would you like to talk about?
Oh, no, this is, I think he gave us
a kicking ass and taking names. Guys are dripping with sweat.
Yes, those are. They
gave us a very valiant effort. A lot of high fives.
What about the balls underneath the chin?
It really pisses me off when balls go underneath Reese Hoskins' chin.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing balls as hard as they could throw it.
Are you finished?
Let's open it up in chat.
So I think... God damn.
Now I'm done.
Thank you. But I think he gave us another fine drop yesterday that was of the ilk of a Valley Girl.
Oh, yeah? He did a little up talk?
And I think it was... kind of, but it was more of the drawn-out variety. It was kind of like, It was almost, you know who it was? And I know this is a weird thing to compare the two, but it was almost like Milton from Office Space. Like, it was like, or Lumberg. Lumberg.
I need you to come in on Saturday.
So if we could go do it, that'd be great. Like, it was kind of like that type of thing.
He's Lumberg now.
He's now... He's not
Al Lundberg.
He rocks some suspenders. He's Lundberg in a coffee mug. So we'll talk about that. But then the other thing is this. Joel Embiid, how confident are people that this was that end-all, be-all loss for Joel Embiid? We're going to have Marcus Hayes on with us at 9 o'clock, who wrote an article earlier in the week for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Marcus's story is about how he believes this is the turning point.
Like, so, I agree with him.
I feel like I'm being way too optimistic if I say, oh, this is it. But I do think as if this is the moment that Joel Embiid will look back. Game 7 will be the moment where he looks back and says, all right, I got to make sure I take care of my diet. I got to make sure I get enough sleep. I got to make sure I'm not doing too much during basketball season. I got to make sure that I am managing my own workload enough. And not staying up crazy late and playing
all
video games.
Load management.
Yeah, and that's what Marcus Hayes talks about in his article. So I do want to know from people if they're expecting a much more, I don't know, serious Joel Embiid next year. If they're expecting a guy to come out next year like Joel Embiid and come in here to Philadelphia, come in and play for the 76ers next year with the attitude of he really is going to be dominant. And it's not just on the court where he can have that attitude, but off the court where he's taking his talent a lot more serious. And we'll talk about that as the show goes on today. I wasn't the only person to take some guff yesterday on social media.
Oh, I got it in a couple ways. Did you want to talk about my nipples or the other thing?
Both.
Okay.
Both. Well, first off, both nipples. And then a mom taking aim at you, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Oof.
I'm in trouble.
Oof.
What an amazing day.
we had a full day. And Sam, to your credit, you texted us while we were out golfing yesterday, and you sent us the screen grab of what the mom of that young, lovely girl, the 9-year-old Olivia, who wrote the letter to Joel Embiid, you sent us the screen grab of what she had to say to us as a morning show. But we all know who it was really directed at.
Well, yeah, we do.
That's so I got to put in this cart.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bringing you all down with me.
Yeah, right.
She only added at 975 morning.
Yeah, you're all guilty by association. Yeah. You know, Bob's actually out today.
Tracy love the kids.
I just say, I love children. I say we throw Bob right under that bus. Back it back over and run it over again. Bob Cooney hates children.
Oh, man, it's terrible.
Sad.
His kids tell me all the time how he shames them. It's awful. But, yeah, we will talk about Jamie's nipples as well, so that'll be fun. Jimmy Butler, by the way, speaking of some Sixers stuff, Jimmy Butler made a little some people scratch their heads last night. And Kawhi Leonard beating the Sixers, and I hate to say this, but it's already a tattoo. I feel like this is a race amongst fans. Is how fast. And Toronto, it's not the first time they've done something like this. Joey Bats, remember the bat flip that he had a couple of years back in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a tattoo like the next day. Kawhi Leonard's not that far off. 610-632-0975. We also have some Game of Thrones news. Lamar Odom is in the news. What's that name I've forgotten about? Lamar Odom. Yeah. So we'll get into that as the show goes on today. But two main things here. Is it time to start worrying about the Phillies? This series losing 3-4 to the Brewers, which is...
All right, let's go Phillies.
One of the best teams in baseball, and Christian Yelich. Good God, man.
I talked about that in the 5 o'clock hour. Boy, did they miss an opportunity to... years ago.
Well, who, in all honesty, who didn't?
I know.
The Brewers is the answer.
Yeah, the Brewers did.
But, like, it's...
But the Phillies were the team that was hot and heavy after him.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have been stupid money either.
$50 million, 7-year deal for a perennial MVP.
It's pretty brilliant.
Just chew on that one, would you?
I was chewing on it for the 9 long innings yesterday. It
made me want to punch a wall last night, frankly.
So,
because he is leaps and bounds better than Bryce Harper.
Yes,
and
he is.
Much, 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 much cheaper.
Yeah, $270 million cheaper.
About that, yep.
Yep, pretty much. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 614.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now.
gave us a very valiant effort. It really pisses me off when balls go underneath Reese Hoskins' chin.
All right, let's go, Phillies.
Welcome back, everybody, for Zeta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney of the day off today. Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. 610-632-0975. So how much of the Phillies games did you guys get to take in while at the beautiful Downingtown Country Club?
I caught the majority of it home. I think I picked up in the fifth inning. Fifth inning at home?
Fifth inning? Just right before the wheels came off?
Yeah, and then when the wheels came off, I was like, and I'm good.
So, Sir Anthony Dominguez, what happened to him? This guy was like unhittable like 2 years ago, and then last year started to really leak some oil, leak some gas, if you will.
Yeah, that's probably part of the reason I would have gone and gotten Kimbrel. Like the putting blind faith in Pivetta and Sir Anthony was a risky proposition, I thought, heading into the year. Yeah.
Unhittable is when he started out. That's how he started out. Unhittable. Sir Anthony Dominguez is going to be absolutely amazing. Not so much. Gave up the bomb yesterday that ended up making it. It was the Grendahl three-run home run. They made it a 7-3 ball game. Everybody was enjoying a one-run game up until then. It was 4-3. And then that was when the wheels came off in the seventh inning. So at what point do people start thinking about the Phillies as a team that could be falling here? Or is it just the fact that you played the Brewers, one of the hottest teams in baseball, with one of the hottest hitters in all of baseball, and go, oh, no, this is going to happen. Team's still coming together. Bryce Harper hasn't caught fire yet. Reese Hoskins, a little bit of a lull here as well. At what point, and Zach Eflin had two great starts previously, complete game and all that. But then he comes out in this game tonight or yesterday and struggles mightily, to say the absolute least, in this one. The numbers for Eflin start yesterday with 5 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks. He's been one of your most consistent pitchers all year.
I can't get angry at Zach Eflin.
No.
They have had one of the best records in baseball against teams over 500 leading up to this series. So I'm going to just put my chips in that it's a funk. They're in a funk and they'll get out of it. It was bad.
So you got the Rockies now with a couple of games under 500.
Which, by the way, has one of my favorite drops of all time.
Now, of course it does. Colorado
Rockies!
Classic. 100% classic. Bill Giles, 07. Great stuff.
Yeah.
No R's in there, as I was always told. But the other part of it is that when you look at the rest of the team, away from Harper, Hoskins, right? Like, McCutchen is not looking good in the field. You're starting to have some concerns about that. He's usually a much smarter ball player than that.
Mm-hmm.
Cesar Hernandez is nothing short of a veteran by now.
Yeah.
And he's making bonehead plays. Had two back-to-back games now. The thing that we got in this yesterday that's so frustrating about the Phillies right now, it's not just the fact that they lost 3-4 to the Brewers and that Christian Yelich went bonkers again, but it's also the fact that they're just playing dumb baseball. And there's nothing that seems like it's going to click it back into place. Now, here's the thing. Yesterday, after the game, Gabe Kapler was kind of asked about clicking things into place and whether or not they'd be able to flip a switch, Trey. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Here's Gabe Kapler yesterday talking about it.
I don't think you flip a switch and start hitting home runs whenever you want. I don't think it works like that. But I certainly think we can examine our approach as a group. Sometimes the answers don't come right after the game. Sometimes they come through a process where we're watching video, we're taking a closer look at the numbers, having more conversations, and the timing for exactly what the fix might be probably doesn't come post-game.
I think everybody realizes it's not just some switch you flip or that you just start hitting home runs out of nowhere. You just hope that the right guy gets hot at the right time and starts carrying this team a little bit.
I'm going to translate that for you.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell is going on.
That's what I heard, too.
Which one?
Well, you know what? Here's what I heard. That's baseball.
Yeah. A combination of both of what you're saying. I don't think Gabe had an answer for it,
yeah.
But he knows it's baseball.
I have no idea what's going on, but, you can't flip a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe some guys going to get hot and they might go cold, but we could watch film, but then we might not watch film because, we have so many games. But, who knows what's going to really happen, because at some point it could click on, but then it's off right now. But then sometimes you might find yourself in the middle of the road.
Mm. So what do you do then?
I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. But when I hear that from Gabe Kapler, like, he's a player of, what, 12 years in Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. right? He's spent some, you know, decent years in the league.
He's had some slumps in his career.
Yeah, to say the least. Like, he guess that this team is going to go through a funk like this. And that's how I'll chalk it up. Look, they just lost 3 of 4. The Braves are now a game and a half back. That happened rather quick, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a moment where all of a sudden it does click for a guy, for Bryce Harper. There's going to be a moment where Rhys Hoskins gets back into the swing of things. There's going to be a moment where JT Realmuto is raking for you as well. Bryce Harper and Gene Segura, he tried flipping the lineup a little bit. Segura batted third yesterday. Harper batted second. Harper got a hit yesterday. That was good to see. On base a couple of times as well. Segura, another home run. Your boy Mean Gene, Jamie. So it was good to see that.
He's a stud.
Yeah, but the rest of these guys got to start hitting as well.
Yeah.
And the pitching has to come through. And speaking about pitching, what's so great about what the Brewers have? They're raking.
Yes.
They are what the Phillies are supposed to be doing.
And Aaron Nola takes the hill on Saturday. You know what the first thing I did was?
What's that?
Scrambled to my weather app to see if it would be warm.
Yeah, because how's it looking? It's supposed to be warm.
78, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're good.
But people are
81 today.
People are reaching into the hat to pull out Aaron Nola excuses. And this new one of he can't pitch in cold weather is on the forefront of my brain because I don't really believe it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm checking weather reports to see if it's something I have to be concerned about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when you know it's bad, when you're reaching into the weather excuse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you check in Doppler. Yeah.
Well, we talked about that the other day with Jimmy Rollins.
When the dew point is above 13, Aaron Nola is 0-9 with a 70 RA. All right.
Would you put it past Elias Sports Bureau to have that stat?
Probably not.
I wouldn't put it past Elias Sports Bureau. But if we're all sitting here and we're waiting for this switch to get flipped and whatnot, it's going to happen. And I do feel like we are going to. Like, I hate to be a blind optimist, but I just feel like the guys in this lineup, like Segura, like Andrew McCutchen, like Rhys Hoskins, like Bryce Harper, especially Bryce Harper, who was night and day pre and post All-Star game last year, they're going to flip that switch, and they are going to be a much better baseball team. We have seen them be a much better baseball team, and one of the other things Gabe Kapler said, and I'll just paraphrase this, is that he said, we got outplayed in this particular series because we did nothing well.
Mm-hmm.
He all but said, well, they scored more runs than us, so we lost.
Yeah.
It was a very simple explanation. Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, and this is just one of those things where, you know, I'm trying not to freak out about it.
You're right.
You know, hey, it's a long season. We had this conversation yesterday. Like, hey, man, you know, it's a long season. You know, it's not like football where you only have 16 games. Mm-hmm. So just calm down. Everybody relax. You know, it's going to work itself out.
Yeah.
You hope.
Yes. Well, Jamie, and I am confident that it will. Uh-huh. But Jamie mentions the bag of excuses. Well, Scott tweets us, maybe something to get Bryce Harper going is getting rid of the dad haircut.
Yeah.
I never thought of it as a dad haircut.
It's a more hipster-ish.
I consider it to be good lettuce, right?
He's got a good poof to it.
It does have a good poof to it.
Yeah.
It does kind of just bounce.
A lot of volume,
as
those Tresemme commercials have taught me through life.
Very
volume
nice.
Is important.
Pat, name. Hey, Pat. Hey, buddy. Real quick, the Phillies. You concerned at all?
No.
There you go.
They just play against a really good team. But let me get started. Mark, Trey, PC, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Hey, Bob is off today, unfortunately.
Egan, and Sam W. But listen, I got some hot take for you.
Oh, all right.
It's for sure. I think Jimmy Butler is out of here.
You know, I'm hearing this growing, I don't know, this feeling of everyone saying that their optimism for Jimmy Butler sticking around is dwindling.
No, well, his house is up for sale, so.
I can speak to this as somebody that stalked down the actual location of the house and the MLS listing on the real estate website. It's been on sale for a while. He's renting it. And it's a massive property out in the Bluebell-ish area, and it's been for sale, I think, for over a year.
This is the first time I'm seeing the sign.
They probably took it down when he was renting it, I would assume.
Yeah.
And now that he's hitting the off season, maybe the realtor is relisting it.
Yeah, that's what I saw, because like I said, he don't live too far from me, and I saw the sign go up, and I was like, whoa, maybe that's a bit of a hot take right there. And he post up on Instagram that he was out of here, that, you know, well, he said, thank you, Philly, and all that good stuff. So that kind of just hit me. So yeah, I was like, oh, wow.
A lot of people were putting a tizzy with that he did release on Instagram. I think it was last night with his. It did say, I think it said, fans, thank you, and my teammates, thank you.
To Philly and my teammates, thank you. Double heart emoji.
Two heart emojis, and his in the photo that he posted, his hands are like in the air, like, come on, kind of thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I'm not too concerned about it just yet. Yes, it did raise my eyebrows.
Yeah, same here. It definitely got me a little bit on the jump this morning, because when I saw the sign, I was like, whoa. And it kind of put a scare in me, because after what he did this year with his leadership, I don't know where we can go from here. So that's where I'm at.
Hopefully the bank to get a really big fat check with a max contract. Pat, thanks for the call, buddy. And we give that to Jimmy Butler, and then all of a sudden he's back here for 5 years, $190 million. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you walk away from that? I understand that these guys are going to make money in the NBA, Trey. I mean, endorsements, all that fun stuff, right? You can make money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a guaranteed $190 million over 5 years, and you're going to be on a team that's going to be a contender, and your owner has already said he's willing to pay a luxury tax, I'm going to go ahead and sign that.
I'll believe the luxury tax part when I see it.
Okay.
It sounds good.
Did they save some money over the last not spending big on payroll?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they weren't making bank either.
You know why they're NBA owners?
Why is that?
Because they're good at making money and not spending it where they don't have to.
Well, it's good to be to have a trust. Somebody literally said that to me last night. I was at this event, and they were like, well, you know that Josh is going to spend over the luxury tax. This is nobody like with the Sixers.
Yeah.
This is just a business savvy person that knows the parties involved.
I'd like to believe he will.
Yeah.
But I will believe it when I see it.
He owns four teams if you include the esports,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't think he'll shy away from it. Especially if you look across the street and you see a guy like John Middleton being lauded for stupid money and all that stuff.
Does it look like stupid money to you?
I'm going to go ahead and spend some money if I'm Josh Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Seriously, you have a guy like Jimmy Butler. You saw the impact he had on this team. You have Tobias Harris, who I think is a good fit for the rest of the team. This is the team we want to keep together.
Absolutely.
And Elton Brand was pretty brazen in coming out saying immediately that he wants to make sure these guys stay together. And that's when they traded for Tobias Harris. That they want to make sure that they can keep all five of these guys together for a long time. With the exception of maybe J.J. Redick, considering he's, 34 years old?
Mm-hmm. But you definitely want to keep Jimmy Butler in there. Just because of what he brings to the team and what your team needs in the locker room and off the court.
Yeah, when you compare him to other players in max contracts, does it look like he fits? No. But with this team, he's a max contract player.
Absolutely.
Because he is exactly what you don't have in the other spots. Mm-hmm. Like, people will talk about Ben Simmons and whether or not he has enough of that killer mentality or the killer instinct and all that, and I think he does. I think he has it. I don't know if he has enough of it yet. But Jimmy Butler is 100% that all the time. And I think this team misses that a lot. They also miss somebody who's also another bigger guard, 6'7", 6'8", that can control the basketball when Ben Simmons is going down low. Yeah. Like, it's all around a perfect fit, and a guy that can also create his own shot off the dribble.
Yeah.
Those are all things I want to see. Let's go. Let's jump up to our boy B-Hawk in Philly. What's up, B-Hawk?
Yo, man. I ride with y'all. You can hear it in my voice. It's not the housing. But everyone's going to pitch the same thing that we pitching. I know it's a lot of bread to walk away from, but theoretically, for certain ideal situations, I wish he'd stay here. But I'm be honest, until I see it, I ain't too optimistic, man. I'm going to keep it a buck with you.
About him coming back to Philly?
I'm really not optimistic in comparison with other teams. I mean, you see what Paul George did with Westbrook and just total everyone thought L.A., and just to see, I'm just thinking of a logistics standpoint, maybe if L.A.'s come Harden, or you got the Nets, which I doubt he'll ever go to, but a Clippers team that might jump something at him. I don't know, man. Till I see it, I'm going to hear from y'all and try to get some faith. But as this market going, I'm just saying, do we take a chance to try to dive in as time goes on? Say if it's like the end of July, like I said a couple of years ago, do we dive at somebody else? It's just bothering me, man. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, you're gonna have to dive at somebody else. I've been pretty confident about Ben Simmons developing a mid-range game, and I've been confident about Joel Embiid being able to take his talent seriously, and that means on and off the court. But even if Tobias Harris stays here, I don't see them making a huge push without Jimmy Butler or without getting a big-name free agent.
Man, I just hope, it's just going to be excruciating. If this don't go down, this is so detrimental. If this don't plan the way we're taking like 50 steps back. And also watching Watching the Warriors in Portland, yo, I hope Brett developed a scheme, man. Just seeing basketball, one man flash. If that doesn't work, another man set a pick. Someone else step out on space. And they constantly hit you with a different. They always constantly get an opportunity because they.
We lost to B-Hawk, but here's the thing. Yeah, I'm hoping Brett has a an easier job next year in terms of figuring out what he has in front of him. And I'm not saying that he had some hard job. Now, was it hard to try to make all guys play together and mm-hmm. learn each other and all that stuff? Sure. But overall, I want to make sure, I want to know that Ben Simmons is coming into next year and Joel Embiid is coming into next year and they're ready to go. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is taking those steps forward, Trey. Like Joel Embiid, making sure that he's managing his workload and all that stuff in the off season as well. Staying in shape, most importantly, above all else, controlling his diet. And then I also want to make sure that Ben Simmons is working on that mid-range game. Because if he has that, then Brett Brown and the rest of the team have so much more to work with.
Yeah, but you need your other pieces there as well, so yeah, that you're not starting with a group of guys and then you adding someone else in a couple months later and then adding another player in a couple more months later. So you kind of want to have your squad together going into this offseason, and then you can kind of build from there just so that they could gel, so you don't have the same situation where he coached three different teams throughout the season. I think that having Ben Simmons in there and Embiid making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to do, but you also want them to have that full squad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just going through this offseason. I think Jimmy Butler is just the guy that you need really in that locker room.
I think this post is going to be a great case study on Negadelphian or not. Mm-hmm. Because if you view that, because there's really not much to take from it, if we're being honest. If you view that and say, oh, he's gone, I think you're a Negadelphian. If you view that and say, I don't know what the hell that means, I think you're probably a rational thinker.
I got a better one for you. Fatalist.
Yeah. Negadelphian is a fatalist, right?
Yeah, it is. But I feel like, obviously, it's a negative route, but it's the mentality of not just being negative, but like being depressed about it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's when I think of a fatalist. That's kind of how
I think we all realize that it was, you know, I don't think the trades were a failure, even if they both leave. Like, it stings. But people are going to view this as a derailment of the process and a massive failure if he leaves.
It's going to, well, yeah, because of what you gave up in two guys that were big
that
processors.
Were frankly very overrated.
Yeah.
And like Dario Saric is probably an eighth man in the NBA at this point.
The way he played this year, the way he played for the Sixers, yeah. But would you like to, I mean, look.
I'll take him back as a bench player, gladly.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But when it comes to Jimmy Butler and it comes to giving up Robert Covington as well as Dario Saric, people took exception to that because of their history.
Well, they need to get over that.
They do. But then the other part of it is also looking at Tobias Harris and giving up Landry Shamet.
That one will sting more.
Because
Shamet, I think we all believe, is going to be a sharp-shooting guy that plays in the league for a good long while.
Absolutely. But here's what could the Jimmy Butler situation become a Bryce Harper light? In terms of following something, reading the tea leaves as much as possible on social media, and then, oh, is he coming back? Is he not coming back? Is he coming? Is he not coming? Like, all that stuff. I wonder if it's going to leak into one of those things, one of those types of categories when it comes to how much we waited and read everything when it came to Bryce Harper and whether or not he was going to come to Philadelphia, and whether or not we'll look at Jimmy Butler just like that with everything that's going to get released on social media and reports that come out. He's coming and he's going, he's staying, he's leaving, whatever. We'll get into that as the show goes on. But there was a little thing that happened in minor league baseball, Trey, and I think you would call this just being great.
All right.
Just being great.
That's good.
Piss excellence.
Okay.
Possibly.
All right.
We'll get to that in a second here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Remember a couple of years ago, Trey, were you in town for this? The Phillies every once in a while will have the broadcast team out in the field somewhere. Not in the field, but in the stands somewhere. Tom McCarthy. This was with Tom McCarthy, Matt Stairs, and I believe Jamie Moyer. And they're out in left center.
Okay.
And they're doing the broadcast in the stands. And a fly ball goes to deep left center field. And it goes right to Tom McCarthy, who's calling the game. And he catches the home run ball. Right to him, and he catches out of midair, right?
Okay.
Pretty incredible thing. What are the odds of that happening?
That is pretty cool.
What are the odds?
Yeah. Show the hands.
Well, a couple of different times you'll hear a situation where a broadcaster will be doing a game, and then all of a sudden a ball will come back towards the broadcast booth. Oh, that one's headed back here, and oh, that one just missed us, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes it actually goes into the booth.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the Somerset Patriots of the Atlantic League, professional baseball, and a broadcaster is obviously doing the game when a foul ball comes his way. And, Trey, this is how I believe you or I would most likely handle this situation. The guy's name's Mark Schwartz. He does play-by-play for the Somerset Patriots, and here it is.
1-1. Cardullo swings and fouls it off towards the broadcast booth, and I make the catch on the foul ball. I am very proud of myself.
Yeah.
I hope somebody got video of that as I caught it on the fly. And it's a 1-2 count. Boy, am I impressive. What a play by me.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that not awesome? What are the odds? What are the odds?
I mean, when I put on my pants this morning, I mean, I just felt special.
I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, you know?
I was like, good for this guy.
Yeah, you know, great performance by me. Caught it on the fly.
Nobody's talking about me enough. Yeah. I am amazing.
Yes. I am amazing. Just, you know, I only put these headphones on just because.
You know, it's one of those examples of, you know, you should never be the story in the media. You should always report the story.
Yeah, no.
I have no problem with this guy becoming the story.
Oh, yeah. And he's like, I hope somebody got some video of this because, I mean, you know.
And they did.
This was awesome.
It was, it's been all over. I saw ESPN tweeted it out as, it's great. Good for this guy.
Yeah.
I think he handled it perfectly.
Of course.
Let's get to Mike and KOP. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, bud.
Hey, I wanted to say Jimmy Butler coming back. I really hope he does come back, but it's possible that they go out in free agency or find a better fit for the money that they might spend on Butler. Maybe they have to weigh that option. So if he comes back, great. If he doesn't, and they're able to find a better free agent fit for that position, I'm okay with that.
Who you think, Mike?
I don't need him to come back at all.
Who you think would be the better fit for them, though, in the locker room and all?
I mean, Durant's a free agent this year. I mean, if they could make a play for Durant, they both are small forwards. I'd rather have Durant than Butler.
Okay. Do you think Durant could handle the fan base here?
I mean, I don't really think anybody can handle the fan base here. So just, yeah, like, at least he can tune it out. Like, so, I don't know. I'd be all right. Durant's an upgrade, so I'd rather have Durant than Butler.
Yeah, here's the thing with, look, yes, I would love to have Kevin Durant and all that stuff, but I think it's more possible to just keep Jimmy Butler here in Philly. But it's funny, Kevin Durant is one of those guys, and I hate admitting to this, because I think that we do really influence people's decisions,
mm-hmm.
like as a fan base.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't know if I can take it with those fans or that media base. Like, Kevin Durant has trouble with San Francisco and Oakland media. Like, what would he do here in Philly? Like, honestly, how would he take that?
I still think you also have to understand that Jimmy Butler, I know he was like, he played nice for this year. You don't know what kind of psychopath he turns into after he gets the guaranteed money.
Hell
right?
Yeah, embrace it.
You have no idea what he becomes like, and if he starts just owning and laying into Ben and Joel once he's like, money's guaranteed. So you gotta weigh that too. Like, I can play nice for a little while, I mean, but you never know what he's gonna be like when he gets his money.
Yeah, also, here's the saving grace, though, with Jimmy Butler is that he still wants to win. Even if he gets that money, I don't think he's going to do a complete about face, because part of the reason he is signing here is because he himself believes in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons.
Well, I mean, he says that. You don't know if he believes it or he's just trying to play nice.
Well, no, he also says he can go elsewhere and get max money.
But also, my last point here is, does anybody have more pressure on them this offseason than Ben Simmons' brother? Like, I've never, like, you've got, like, this guy's entire shooting career and all of this, like, on your shoulders. Like, you're going to look like quite a screw-up as a coach if he can't shoot next year. Like, if I was his brother, I'd be like, can you go elsewhere? I don't need this.
Yeah, no, I made a similar point, Mike. Thanks for the call. if you're Ben Simmons, don't you want to make your brother look good?
Yeah, that is, but that is a good point by Mike, man. That's a lot of pressure on his brother right now.
Oh, sure.
To make this turnaround, to say, okay, Ben, I need you to be able to take the jumper, big guy.
Yeah.
Look, baby, bro, I really need you to take this jumper.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But again, if you're Ben Simmons and your brother's working with you, and now it's become scrutinized that your brother is your shooting coach, right? Yeah, I think I would want to justify it. I would want to make my brother look good. I'd also want to get my brother more business, by the way.
Yeah.
Because if he makes...
I was going to say, this makes or breaks his career. If he fixes Ben Simmons, that brother's making money for a long time out of a lot of players.
How many more NBA players or guys coming out of college that, oh, yeah, if he learns to shoot, he'll be something, right? How many more guys would be giving him a call?
A lot.
Liam Simmons, right?
Yes,
Liam?
I believe.
Liam Simmons?
I believe.
Yeah, go out
so
there.
So is this all like a marketing thing for the brother? Hey, man, I need you to suck for a couple years. with your jumper, and then this next year, boom, you're going to explode, shooting threes from all over the place, uh-huh. And then bam, you know, now the brother's making multi-million dollar deals.
They could be catfishing us. Yeah. They could be catfishing
us. Struggle for a couple years, and then next year, you're going to just explode.
All part of their master plan. This is pretty sad.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure your wife is mourning this one today.
This might be her finding out right now.
Yeah.
No, did you type that up or did
Sam
you?
Sam did. But I saw it on Twitter, so I can confirm it.
You want to give the news?
7 years old. Grumpy Cat passes away.
Grumpy Cat was only seven?
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah, it's sad.
A young cat.
Cats live to be like 20.
Well, yeah, some cats live a long time. Yeah, yeah. Like 20 years.
Grumpy Cat
from social media. It's a very famous meme.
Okay.
You've probably seen it and you don't even realize
it.
It's one of those, that type of famous.
Grumpy Cat's dead.
Grumpy Cat died.
A 7-year-old cat?
Yeah.
Must have had a hard life of celebrity life and living the...
Picked up a drinking problem. Slums
in Beverly Hills.
Got in with the wrong crowd in West Hollywood.
Drugs and alcohol. This is going to be a living heart. What is this cat?
It's going to be an E-True Hollywood
Just
story.
Just Google Grumpy Cat. You'll be like, oh, that cat. Yeah. It looks miserable.
Mm.
It's got like...
This is really sad.
It is sad, yeah. I mean, it's an animal dying that was...
Next on E! True Hollywood Story, Grumpy Cat.
The story is
gone too pets, soon. So I'm not,
What's that?
I'm not really like that with pets, so it's not...
Yeah, you are an emotionless man.
I'm sorry.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.